Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, if you will, please. Wednesday was Ash Wednesday, which marks the beginning of Lent. Lent is these 40 days that we're preparing our hearts and minds to celebrate Jesus' resurrection from the dead. So we're taking a journey, if you will, with Jesus. The 40 days comes from Jesus' time of fasting as He was preparing for His ministry, where He was tempted and overcame those temptations. And so we take this season to go through the desert a little bit and look at our lives and allow the Lord to minister to us and hopefully overcome some challenges, break some addictions, break free from sins that so easily entangle us. And so we invite you every day on dailychapel.com, that is our app for worship every day. We'll be leading you through the Jesus Prayer. We'll take you through the Gospels. There often will be an image associated there with this season. So let's stand together as we read from Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And verse 24 says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Let's pray. Father, help us to even understand this idea of mammon and break free. Help us to break free from its grip and its control over our lives so that we can serve You, so that we can worship You, so that we can live victoriously in this area of our life. We declare today that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And so, Lord, today I pray that You deliver people from the grip of mammon in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, what is this idea of mammon? You cannot serve God and mammon. So we need to come up with a definition then of mammon. Mammon really means material wealth or possessions. But then on the other hand, not all material wealth and possessions is mammon.
It's a little bit confusing, as are a lot of things in Scripture. That's why we have to dig in a little deeper. But the idea here is material wealth or possessions, especially that have this debasing influence on our lives. Mammon very literally means riches or wealth. But the idea of mammon is that one would trust in riches or in wealth. Christians began to use mammon as a term used to describe gluttony, excessive materialism, greed, and unjust worldly gain. And we find this idea of mammon all throughout literature and in various places. Let me give you some examples. Gregory of Myssa asserted that mammon was another name for Beelzebub. Cyprian and Jerome, we're talking about church fathers here, relate mammon to greed as an evil master that enslaves. John Chrysostom said that mammon is personified greed. Mammon appears in the Divine Comedy as this wolf-like demon of wealth coming to inflame the human heart with greed. In John Milton's very lengthy poem, Paradise Lost, mammon is a fallen angel described as being more interested in heaven's pavements than in the Creator. He tells the other fallen angels to be content in hell. In the Phantom of the Opera, the Phantom worships Mammon in the Phantom of Manhattan. In The Alchemist, Sir Epicure Mammon is a man obsessed with material wealth. In Dungeons and Dragons, Mammon is an arch devil, the ruler of the third layer of hell. And for the rest of us, in the comic book, okay, come on, lighten up a little bit. In the comic book Spawn, Mammon is depicted as a handsome gentleman, suave and sophisticated, who often assists Spawn in his quest. We see here what Jesus is addressing, because Mammon has this intention for your life. Mammon wants to rule over you. Greed wants to rule over you. This obsession with material wealth wants to rule over you. Or we could go on the flip side of that, the fear of never having enough. The fear that I'm not going to make it. This, I deal with all kinds of people and all kinds of situations, and all kinds of troubles that people get themselves into. But I will tell you, in observing people's lives, most likely when they are out of sorts, when they're not being themselves, when they're acting very strange and acting very peculiar, there's two things that I start examining. One I won't address this morning, but the second one is they must be having money problems, because there is a certain pressure. There's just a certain anxiety. There's a certain stress that seems to be associated with money problems, or people that are worried about money. And they start doing things sometimes that's very much out of their character. And so this Mammon wants to rule your life. Mammon wants you to worship it. It is seeking after worshipers. Jimmy Evans says, Mammon promises us those things that only God can provide. Security, significance, identity, independence, power, and freedom. Mammon suggests one to be self-sufficient, self-consumed, and both of those things are opposite of the Jesus way. Mammon says that that money is the answer to your problems. So let's talk about money versus Mammon for just a moment, because money and Mammon, riches and Mammon, wealth and Mammon are not synonymous. Money is not inherently evil. The love of money leads to all kinds of evil, leads to all kinds of ruin. But money either has the Holy Spirit attached to it or Mammon. Hold your place here, but look at Psalm 112. Let me ask it this way. Does God want you to be rich or does He want you to be poor? Because we have all of these warnings against Mammon and the love of money. And so it would seem that on a casual reading of Scripture, then it would be better to be poor. But let me tell you, Mammon attaches itself to the rich and to the poor. Mammon is indiscriminate. You can be broke as broke gets. You can be bankrupt and being controlled by Mammon. And you can be very independently wealthy and not have any trouble with Mammon whatever. It's sort of neutral, but what has it been dedicated to? Or what has been attached to it? Because look at this scripture. Psalm 112 verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed." Everybody say blessed. So what we're about to read in the next verse that you've already read because you're reading instead of listening. What we're about to read is not a curse. It is, in fact, then a blessing. And we're talking about the person who fears God, who delights in His commandments, who's following the Lord, let's say, to the best of his or her ability. Verse 3 then says, wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. So wealth and riches cannot be synonymous with mammon, yet the literal definition of mammon is riches and wealth. So then money then can be dedicated to the Lord and committed to the Lord. Or I could say it this way, money that's not committed to the Lord by default has mammon attached to it. Money submitted to God and to His purposes is blessed. But see, then people use... Has anybody ever tried to control you with money? Or the promise of money? Or what have you? Yeah, my boss every day. No, I don't mean it exactly that way. But money, the threat of money, or the threat of removal of money, or I promise you more money, or whatever. People use money to control and to manipulate people. That's evil. That's wicked. That's mammon. Mammon is the spirit of this world. Satan is the god of this world system, of this age. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, whose minds the god of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. Fear or greed grip those under the rule of mammon. Look with me to Revelation 13. Just something very interesting. Revelation 13, verse 14. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth. We're talking about the beast that comes up out of the earth. You know, the one with two horns and speaks like a dragon. He deceives, and those who dwell on the earth, by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast, who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He caused all, verse 16, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand and on their foreheads, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now I want you to notice that the beast of Revelation dominates, controls, and manipulates people through commerce, through buying and selling. And so when we're living in this world, we're always subject then to this spirit of mammon. And there is a power here that can separate the souls of men from their God and their Creator. And that's why I think it's so important that we talk about this from the pulpit. One of the reasons that we talk to young people about keeping themselves pure from a church perspective is because they're going to hear every other thing from everybody else, from their friends, from the media, you know, from even the education system is going to address in a certain way. And so we feel a responsibility to talk to young people. Come on. And so I'm just telling you, money gets a lot of people in trouble, and this spirit of mammon gets a lot of people in trouble. And Jesus even said, it's very difficult for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven because it's those riches, it's that mammon, it's the love of money, it's the fear, it's the pride that's going to keep people separated from God. And so I just think it's kind of important that we address it every once in a while. And let's just talk about the elephant in the room, because mammon has a way of trying to control and manipulate us and separate us from God. It's a beast. It's a beast that would separate you and cause you even to deny your faith. How do I know that? Look, Michelle and I have been in ministry for 34 years, so we know a lot about church stuff. Do you realize that more money every year is embezzled from churches than is given to foreign missions? So I'm telling you, even in church, come on somebody, that spirit of mammon wants to attach itself, because why would somebody steal from the church? Greed or fear or demon possession, I don't, you know, something. So I'm just telling you, we're not devoid of this. Put somebody under some financial pressure, and they're either going to turn towards God or run away from God. And they're going to do things that they wouldn't normally do. So let's deal with this thing, and let's break the grip of mammon from our lives. Mammon says, take. But God says, give. Mammon is selfish. You just need to take care of yourself. You need to take care of just your family. One time when I was addressing the subject, let's just say, for a lack of a better way to say it, biblical prosperity. Because it's just all over. You know, God told Joshua that if he would fear the Lord and you know, keep the word of God in his heart and his mouth, he would make his way prosperous and he would have good success. Deuteronomy tells us that wealth is part of the covenant, and the power to get wealth comes from God himself. And I remember speaking along these lines, and I had a gentleman one time that just suggested that for any of us to have more than just what would be required to take care of our own family would be wrong and evil and wicked. I said, well, that sounds like the most selfish thing I think I've ever heard in my entire life. That you would only believe God just enough for your family. How selfish is that? When God gives us this power and the ability to create more than enough, come on somebody, that we would have more than enough to take care of. Just see, mammon says, just take care of yourself. Mammon says, just take care of your family. Mammon says, come on, you know, we deserve this. And if they wanted help, they should work harder, or they should apply themselves, or all these kinds of things. There's a lot of people that don't believe that we should be giving away food this afternoon. I've heard it all. It's just enabling people. And all of this kind of nonsense. When repeatedly, the Bible tells us to take care of people that are in desperate situations. That actually your godliness is very much associated with how you treat people in need. People that are poor, people that are desperate. People that maybe ought to be doing better, but let's face it, they're not. And mammon says, let them take care of themselves. I took care of me and my family. Let them take care of their family. And that is the spirit of mammon. Mammon says, take. Mammon says, hold on to. Mammon says, this is mine. We worked hard for this. We applied ourselves. All those things are true, but the spirit of it is wrong. Because God says give. God so loved the world that he... Money is not the answer to everything. And there's things that are more important than money. I think I have 10, but if they're 9, don't hold me to that. I didn't count them up. I just started thinking about what are things that are more important than money. The first thing that I put on my list is what I would call shared experiences. like when Michelle and I were on our trip, don't judge us, don't hate us, don't send us an email, but we went to an Elton John concert. It cost money to buy the ticket, but we didn't buy the most expensive one, I'll just tell you. But that experience, I'll remember that. I'll remember it for a long time. It was a really good time. But on the other hand, I remember when Michelle and I were first married and when we were both full-time students and we were both working and we lived in a one-bedroom apartment. I remember the games of miniature golf that we had in our apartment and then invited people over and the plastic cups that we used for cups and every piece of linoleum. How many of you remember linoleum? Come on, somebody. We didn't have, you know, ceramic tile in our apartment. We had carpet and linoleum. And everywhere there was linoleum, that was a water hazard. And you had to chip over that and land it on the rug and keep it there. But those shared experiences. And we'd invite people over to play miniature golf in our one-bedroom apartment. And they had a good time. They didn't think they were going to have a good time. They didn't know you could play miniature golf in your little bitty apartment. But those shared experiences were way more valuable than something that money could have bought us. You know, just sitting around the table sometimes, just your immediate family or extended family. I don't know how many times in my life I've heard the same story over and over again about Michelle growing up on the farm. And I won't tell you some of those stories because they would embarrass her. And it's Valentine's Day, okay? But those shared experiences of athletics or a vacation or a meal or what have you. We had the opportunity to see some of our church members or some of our former church members that have moved away while we were on our trip. And just what a wonderful time, those shared experiences. Wisdom. Wisdom's more important than money. Having a loving marriage, more important than money. Having good friends, more important than money. Having health, physical, mental health, way more important than money. Having a purpose in life. Before we had two nickels to rub together, Michelle and I had a purpose for our lives. We knew what we were going to do. When we launched out as teenagers together in this world, we had a purpose within our hearts. And all we've done for these past 34 years is just live out that purpose that God had for us. It didn't take money to get started, or we couldn't have. But that purpose was more important than having money. As a matter of fact, obviously, as teenagers, we didn't have money, but I looked at Michelle and said, God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And if you stick with me, God will bless us. And He has. We can look back. I feel a little bit like David who said, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed going around begging for bread. Something worth more than money was the purpose that we had in our life. Helping other people, more important than money. Helping other people. Helping somebody that really can't reciprocate. Helping somebody not because they can do something for me, just helping them because they have a need and I've got two hands, I've got two feet, I can show up and help somebody. You have a wonderful opportunity this afternoon. Having a strong relationship with God is more important than money. Having a loving family and a good relationship with your family, more important than money. You know what's more important than money? A good name. Having a good name. Now, money's a useful tool. Money can buy a house, but not a home. Money can buy a book, but not wisdom. Money could buy a bed, but not sleep. Money can buy a position, but not respect. Money could even buy blood, but can't really buy life. Money can buy a bunch of gadgets, but can never never buy happiness. Look with me to Luke chapter 16, and we'll use this to close this morning. Luke 16, beginning with the 9th verse. I dare say you've not heard very many sermons from Luke 16, verse 9 through 13. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, it's talking about when you pass from this world, when you aren't here anymore, that when you fail, they, the friends that you made through unrighteous mammon, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. He who is unjust in what is least is unjust in what is much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Unrighteous mammon. The New Living Translation would have read, your worldly resources. We can use our money for eternal purposes. We can, as Jesus said in our text, we can lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. What is the one thing that we know for certain is eternal? The one thing that we know for certain that's eternal are the souls of men. Many would suggest pets also. Not gonna debate that. But one thing we know for a fact from Scripture, that when the rich man died and the poor beggar Lazarus died, that was not the end of them. In Luke 16. The rich man died and was in torment. And the beggar Lazarus, not the same that Jesus raised from the dead, but a different Lazarus, he was being comforted in Abraham's bosom. The one thing that we know that is eternal are the souls of men. Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Whatever fancy car you've ever had in your life, the favorite car you wish you'd have never sold, if you would have kept using that and didn't stick it in a barn somewhere, it's going to be awfully rusty and awfully worn out. And the hoses and belts are going to be cracked. And the bulbs will burn out and can be replaced. It doesn't matter how wonderful your home is. Just neglect it. Just let it go for about a decade and see what it looks like. In other words, everything in this world is subject to decay, is subject to rust. I mean, thieves can break in and steal. They don't even have to break in and steal anymore. All they need is a computer. Michelle got an alert last night that a card of ours was being used somewhere in Sacramento, California. We're not in Sacramento, California. We're in Chillicothe, Missouri. I mean, everything that we have is subject to theft. But there's one investment that is always secure. It's always saved. It's always protected and yields eternal rewards. That's using our unrighteous mammon to win friends in this world. What does that mean? Jesus said those friends, when you die, will welcome you in your eternal reward. Friends that you made through the use of unrighteous mammon, through your worldly resources. Our money can be invested in heaven by giving to the church whose purpose is to seek and save the lost. Your money invested in the church reaches children and teenagers. Seven of our teenagers Wednesday night says, I want to be baptized in water. Your investment in that building, your investment in pastors that have worked in that building and all over the community, come on somebody, have made friends who've given their hearts to Jesus. And that money that you put in the collection plate won friends. And when you die and you're welcomed into heaven, you're going to be welcomed by people that you never knew were your friends. There's going to be a lot of Indians and a lot of Africans and Pakistanis. Come on, somebody. And people from every tribe that fills the nation of Myanmar, Thailand. People from Central and South America. People that you never met, but because you dedicated your money to the Lord, you brought your first fruits into the house of God. Those people will welcome you according to Jesus. Friends that you made. The people who came to Christ through your giving will welcome you in God's eternal kingdom. Your money won't welcome you there. Look. I wear it about once a week, and I don't always wear it. But this was my dad's ring. My dad passed away over 10 years ago. He didn't take this with him. He left it behind. Everything. Everything. Everything that he ever accomplished in life. Every bit of money that he saved. Every possession that he accumulated. Was left here. None of that welcomed him into his reward. But I promise you, hundreds of people welcomed him there. Someday he'll welcome me. The friends you make by investing your money in God's kingdom will welcome you according to Jesus. Jesus, who turned water into wine, can turn money into saved souls. Money feeds, clothes, houses, pays medical expenses, and spreads the gospel. Hell is plundered through our tithes and offerings. There's one way to break the grip of mammon from your life. There's only one way. There's only one way to break the grip of selfish mammon from your life, and that's unselfish generosity. Giving to the work of the Lord breaks the grip of mammon from your life. And then there's a blessing attached to your money. There's a blessing attached to your wealth. People that tithe always say this, never say anything other than this: God has blessed me. And people who still live under that fear or that pride or that greed, will say, look what I have done. Or they live in fear that they're not going to have enough. Man, the money in our church goes through cycles. Sometimes we've had less and sometimes we've had more. There's never been one time the bills weren't paid on time. There was never one time that we didn't have enough or more than enough. Not one time. No matter what's gone on, no matter what has come against us, no matter. But one thing that we always do, and Barb sitting on the front row and has been the church treasurer for most of the history of, you know, Cornerstone Church, as the first of every month, we send out money. We send out money to missionaries. We send out money to help people in our own community. We send out money to help the poor. We send it out. We tithe as a church. We give back 10% of what comes in And that same principle that, come on somebody, that applies to individuals also applies because the church is a family. I can't say that I haven't ever been gripped by fear, but it's always been followed by a confidence of knowing that we give first and God will meet all of our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And what God has done for our church, what God has done for our family, God will also do in your life. So let's dedicate our tithes and offerings to the Lord. We'll have the ushers come and collect them. If you need prayer this morning or you need to give your life to Jesus Christ, you need to call in the name of the Lord and receive everlasting life, then today is a wonderful day for you. Call in the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved today. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Remember Wednesday night, I'm going to teach along this line and then we're going to let it go for a while. I'd love to teach on it for a while longer because I find so many people are in financial trouble today. But I also want you to show up again next Sunday. So I'm going to get off of money after Wednesday night, but I'm going to teach on it one more time Wednesday night because, man, there's just a righteousness attached to your money or there's mammon attached to your money. And I just want to help some people that might be in trouble, and I want to strengthen people that are doing well. And so we're gonna break free Wednesday night. So I'd invite you to come out to that. Let's hold up our tithes and offerings before the Lord. Heavenly Father, it's with great joy and delight that we bring the tithe into the storehouse so that the storehouse of God, the house of God, would be fully supplied. And Lord, as the caretaker of this house, I declare with all honesty, with all boldness, with all purity, that the cupboards are full. We have a full supply. We have more than enough for every good work that you've called us to do. We're blessed. We're blessed as a church family because of the obedience and the willingness of our church family. So Lord, now we ask you to do exactly what you said you would do concerning this area of our life. Rebuke the devourer for our sakes. Speak your word of blessing, your benediction over our lives. So that we would have more than enough. So that our barns would be filled and our vats would overflow. I pray that through generous giving, people would break the grip of mammon in their lives. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for purpose. Thank you for joy and peace in our lives. Thank you for wisdom that comes from above. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, go ahead and serve the people, please. After that offering bucket is passed by you, stand up and greet people on your way out. We'll see you Wednesday, or we'll see you next Sunday. In either case, have a wonderful week. God bless you. We pray that you would prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer, you need to give your life to Jesus, come forward right now and let us pray with you.